RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Food Standards Australia and New Zealand for SANS is considering a change to the definition of what a genetically modified food is, with a push to deregulate all gene-edited foods. Northland Community Group GE Free Taitokoro are highly concerned about this. Now, as we heard from Claire Bleakley and Jody Brunning, submissions close on the 10th of September. Zelka Linda Grammer is chair of GE Free Taitokoro, a community group dedicated to maintaining the GE/GMO-free status of Northland Taitokoro in New Zealand. Their work is aimed at preventing the outdoor use of genetically modified organisms, GMOs, due to concerns about biosecurity, biodiversity and cultural values. The group supports the use of GMOs in medical research within strict laboratory containment, but opposes any outdoor experiments, field trials or releases. They also advocate for consumer rights, including the right to know about GE GMO ingredients in food and the ability to save and use non-GMO seeds. Zelka, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
All right. So does this send a little chill up the spine, all this talk?
Well, what's particularly chilling is having a Minister of Research, Science and Technology, Judith Collins, who's supremely unqualified and is just basically rabbiting on with the old National Party agenda. They've been trying for many years to undermine local councils and communities' authority and jurisdiction, and to destroy or remove enforceable GE GMO-free zones that simply have added, in keeping with the wishes of their farmers and other ratepayers, a much-needed additional tier of local protection against the risks of outdoor GE GMO experiments, field trials, etc. There actually is no moratorium. It's chilling to hear Chris Luxon and Judith Collins essentially lie and say that there's a moratorium when there isn't. Anyone, today, tomorrow, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, can apply to IRMA previously or the EPA to do an outdoor GE GMO experiment or field trial. What the councils have done, though, from South Auckland right up to Cape Ranga in the far north, is to put in place additional rules because of some deficiencies in the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Act, the HASNO Act, so that basically when the applicants go previously to IRMA and now to the EPA and rubber stamp every single GE GMO outdoor application, if they want to come to Taitokoro or to Auckland, they have to prove financial fitness, post a substantive bond, and be personally and financially liable in the, some would say, unlikely event of unintended or unforeseen adverse impacts of the EPA or IRMA-approved activities. That's not a moratorium. That's simply local councils acting on their duty of care to their ratepayers and residents, given the significant risks of outdoor GE, GMO experiments and so on. And I'll just read out a quote from Professor Jack Heineman. He's one of our most highly qualified independent scientists, professor of genetics, molecular biology at Canterbury University, and the director at the Center for Integrated Research in Biosafety. There is no ban on gene technology in New Zealand. This is misleading hyperbole and is used to obscure a failure to engineer products that will have a market or social value that exceeds the cost of compliance with reasonable regulations.
Yeah, we've had Jack on this program a few times, so we're well aware of what I think I've heard him actually say that here. Being loose with the language, because we've also had Judith Collins on, and
And I listened to that, and it's just staggering the amount of duplicitous comments misrepresenting the actual position of the organic sector, both in New Zealand and internationally. But we know that's what politicians do. That's what Shane Jones is up to with the Fast Track Proposals Bill. They're supremely confident because they've got the numbers, and they feel quite they're quite enjoying telling Porky's publicly.
Well, that was what I was wondering at the time. Are they Porky's, or has that particular person anyway, Judith Collins, just been an easy sell from, you know, by the industry, that she's been, you know,
revved up over it?
Yeah.
Is it that she's just completely unqualified and ill-informed and has been lobbied by the biotech lobby? Or is it that she's actually purposefully misleading? Don't actually know. But the bottom line is that the people of New Zealand and our hardworking farmers and primary producers deserve better. It's all very fine and well to, you know, wax poetic about the alleged benefits of outdoor GE GMO experiments or field trials, or pretend that CRISPR, the new genetic technology, or relatively new comparatively, gene editing, you know, is safe and precise when it actually isn't. I mean, we rely heavily on advice from, as I said before, our most highly qualified independent scientists, not those indentured to the industry, not those chasing sexy grants, and certainly not those from the New Zealand Crown Research Institutes, who since 1995... Port Research, Scion, which was formerly Forest Research, Ag Research, Plant and Food Research, who all have a very unpleasant history of incompetence and basically essentially failing to adhere to the basic conditions of approval when IRMA would rubber stamp their applications for outdoor GE. GMO experiments or field trials. Let's say, for example, Plant and Food Research's GE Brassica experiment down in the South Island. And, you know, there was a secret field trial location. There was a few conditions that they were supposed to meet with. And when local people and representatives from the Soil and Health Association found the secret field trial location, lo and behold, the GE Brassicas were flowering out of doors, which is a clear breach of the conditions of approval. So, of course, they immediately went to MAF, now MPI, with photographic evidence, and the whole thing was shut down in disgrace. Plant and Food Research also stuffed up with a laboratory experiment, a GE experiment. You can look back in the New Zealand Herald and Google lab errors lead to GE leak. I could hold forth for probably, you know, 10 hours detailing all these stuff-ups. And they're expecting us to believe that they're going to take the appropriate duty of care. And even if they did, even if they were attempting to do best practice, human nature being what it is, and just considering all the vectors for GE GMO contamination, this is the concerning thing. Obviously, with laboratory things, there's less of a chance. But the outdoor experiments and field trials, like what Judith Collins is holding forth about gene-edited ryegrass, she has no idea all the vectors for contamination. Once it's actually outside and in the field, it's not in containment. And you have pollen, the wind, seeds, vegetative material, soils, waterways, machinery, insects, extreme weather events, high winds, floods. They absolutely cannot control these problems. And I am actually expat American. You can maybe hear when I get cross, a bit of a twang. I'm still in touch with my former forestry and farming colleagues. And believe you me, in North America, in Canada and the U.S., it hasn't gone well for them. They have widespread GE GMO contamination. Even the organic industry has had to accept a percentage, a contamination threshold. And despite all their claims many years ago of alleged benefits of, you know, Monsanto's GE canola and soy and BT corn, where they engineer an insecticide into every cell of the plant, not only is there widespread contamination, but they've got huge issues with exudations from these transgenic crops like the BT corn, contaminating waterways and soils. This is not what we need in New Zealand. And I noticed that they seem to be also backpedaling from even having the robust discussions that they've been talking about for years. Like, we actually welcome the New Zealand government reviewing the gene technology rules, because in our view, the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Act should be strengthened. Things should be tightened up, including lab work, certainly not weakened. But there's nothing wrong with having a discussion. There's nothing wrong with having a review. But it seems very much like what is actually happening is, as Professor Jack Heineman stated in his recent piece, let's cut the crap on gene technology. The government has proposed to reset and remove some regulations on making and releasing genetically modified organisms, GMOs. Is it a new conversation based on a new risk equation, or is it an ultimatum? The argument, after all, sounds familiar. Advocates for regulatory reform were saying more than 15 years ago what they are saying now again, that we can change the name of some products to make them sound less like GMOs. So this is what we're seeing. We're seeing them basically telling us what's happening, even though it is our livelihood and it is the farmers and primary producers, the backbone of the country, and our job of essentially producing safe and clean, nourishing food of the highest quality to the most discerning markets.
Isn't it all about, and I'm just a simple guy on the street, and I keep saying that, but genuinely, when it comes to these issues, I'm learning all the way, Zelda, that this is just, in the end game is just to totally control the food chain, isn't it?
It's controlling the food chain. A lot of it is about proprietary rights and patenting.
I know that, but that comes in, again, under that category of owning the chain.
And the most disheartening thing is this duplicitous hype and spin that these new genetic technologies, and we've heard all the names for so many years, genetic engineering, genetic modification, transgenics, cisgenics, zinc finger nuclease, gene editing, gene drive, blah, blah, blah. And it's always, every time they announce the new label for the GMOs, it's always safe and precise. And then they're on to the next thing. And then they scurry to denigrate and criticize the previous technology while telling us that the new one is perfectly safe and robust and will have no adverse impacts and only benefit. And yet they're so resistant to having a liability regime, which is what our argument has always been as we've proceeded with all of the councils from South Auckland to Cape Reinga and been through all the courts. We've simply said to all these enthusiastic overseas multinationals or New Zealand Crown Research Institutes or a private company or federated farmers, we've said, you know, we see that you mean well. And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have a magic silver bullet that would, for example, eradicate every single possum instantly, just vaporize them? But in the highly unlikely event of unintended or unforeseen adverse impacts, it'd be really nice if you would prove financial fitness, post a substantive bond, be personally and financially liable. And it's all going to go well for you, of course.
Yeah, but those bars are too high. Those bars are too high, clearly.
The what?
Those bars are too high. That's the problem for them. To reach those benchmarks is...
What, to prove financial fitness and post a substantive bond? They're going to get it back in a few years and all these benefits are going to flow.
Well, I was thinking more about the liability question, actually.
Yeah, well, it's because they intend to carry on as they've begun, which is undertaking their controversial and risky outdoor experiments, expecting members of the public in the case.
Well, no, they know they're risky. That's what I was thinking. They know these are risky.
Yeah. And they want the members of the public to carry the can. Or in the case of, for example, PPL Therapeutics, which was a Scottish company that came to New Zealand, I think it was in the early 2000s, experimenting with transgenic sheep and goats. And basically, the animals were in ill health, the company went bankrupt, and they skipped the country, leaving MAF to publicly fund and euthanize all these crook transgenic animals. It's a bloody disgrace. And so...
I want to go back to that, what Judith Collins said here, but has said it in other places as well. A real cheerleader for this, and she was saying, you know, listing all the countries and areas of the world that's doing this and that we're missing out. I asked her, what if they're all wrong? She said, no, they're not. Like, she really knew. If we were having an honest conversation about something that really is vexed, she wouldn't be cheerleading it, evangelizing it, would she? That's kind of irresponsible, isn't it?
I would say that the National Party has a track record and a nefarious history of being irresponsible. For example, when the National Party was in power, I think it was for as long as 9 years, a wee while ago, every year they cut the Department of Conservation's core biodiversity budgets, damaging our native birds, our critically endangered native species. And then when they were trying once again to get back into power, this was a few years ago, they were saying things like, oh, we've got this new magic silver bullet, this new genetic technology. It's called gene drive. And we could eradicate every mustelid and every possum, you know, this is a controversial sterility technique, basically, which the U.S. military is pushing. And yep. They actually don't care about conservation. They actually don't care about our indigenous biodiversity. It's all about profit. It's all about making money and basically thinking in a blinkered fashion in the short term.
If it's all about making money, then as I understand it, the worth of our organic food industry is about $1 billion. Is that what you've heard? I think Jack Heineman pointed that out.
That's what I've heard, but it's also, it's not just the organic sector valuable as it is.
It's
conventional, IPM, regenerative, organic. Every single one is not compatible with GE or GMO experiments and crops because inherently, because of all the vectors for contamination, you will have to either accept a significant threshold of contamination. And if it was so successful over in the U.S. and Canada, they wouldn't be having such difficulty, for example, the U.S. Corn Growers Association. They can't even sell their corn overseas to many countries. They can't even give away the GE corn as food aid to Africa. Why is it that there's a huge success in the market for the non-GMO project, certified foods that at least don't come from GE GMO crops? This is a reaction to the widespread GE GMO contamination.
And that was the point I was heading to. The point was that, and that's a growing market, and it's $1 billion now, but you can bet it's going to be a lot more than that in the future. To make any sort of, even if it's pure economics, to make any sort of case for deregulation, and I know you've pointed out there's never been a moratorium, you would have to show that that industry can trump the potential of the organic or, you know, non-GME, GM food industry as far as we're concerned, our place in it. You have to show that that has more potential economically. Can you see what we do here, the small country, the small scale that we do it at, unless we're going to let it rip, you know, and be the sort of like the lab of the world, the open air lab of the world, ever getting close to that potential? I can't see it. So how can you even make an economic argument for it?
Absolutely not. And why would we want to compete with this low value product that consumers don't want? Our GE GMO free, it's a valuable stance to maintain. New Zealand's 100% pure brand is highly valuable, as is our existing zero tolerance policy for any GE GMO content and imported seeds. It must be retained. And
yeah, well, that didn't seem to matter much to her when I kind of asked her about that. So
no, it it doesn't matter to her at all. And it doesn't matter to Shane Jones, for example. He's been down here. I'm currently in the South Island. I've just come down for a tramp and to liaise with some of my farming colleagues. And, you know, Shane Jones and his mates are pushing for a huge new open cast coal mine on ecologically significant public conservation land and 110 hectares of the Westport Water Conservation Reserve. That water conservation reserve was set aside in 1951 in perpetuity to protect the town's water supply. Why would you put a coal mine in such a place?
Well, next time I've got him, I'll ask him. I'll ask him that.
Yeah.
Next time he's on.
You ask him. You ask him. And this disrespect for local communities, disrespect for the authority and jurisdiction of local government is very chilling. And I note that it was under the National Party that the Bioethics Council, that was one of the key recommendations from the Royal Commission into Genetic Modification 2000. They recommended that there needed to be a Bioethics Council to basically protect animal welfare and cultural and spiritual and all those sorts of issues. And of course, as soon as the National Party got into power, they callously disbanded it. So really looking forward to a response from Judith Collins. Our community group has lodged an Official Information Act request from her on a number of these points and challenging her on some of the things that she's been saying and essentially asking and urging her to actually consult and engage with farmers and primary producers and councils and local Manawhenua. Because I also note in Taitokerau, all iwi authorities for all their respective rohe have precautionary and prohibitive policy as well for GEGMO. So they're going to have a fight on their hands as they have for many years.
Yeah. So where do you see this all going? Okay. So I think, late 2025, all this consultation and all this maneuvering comes to a head. I can't remember the exact date, but I think it's in that year. And the current coalition government will still be there. Election year is 2026. And what is your sense of where the public is on this? Do you think they're informed enough?
Number one, I think that they are going to cunningly try to sneak this through, like before Christmas. That's normally what unethical governments do.
When everyone's looking, thinking about other things and not paying attention to anything, really. Yeah.
Yeah. When hardworking people are looking forward to, you know, a fortnight's break. And obviously, they're going to have to try to get across the line legislation and basically undermining the local councils, because we have all the regional policy statements. We have the Auckland Unitary Plan. We have, for example, in Hawke's Bay, Hastings District Council has achieved outright prohibition of all outdoor GEGMO. It's the only one, actually, for the duration of the district plan. So they're going to have to actually amend the legislation to take away local councils and communities' rights. And that's a pretty chilling thing to do, but as evidenced by Chris Luxon's aggressive speech to the Local Government New Zealand conference, did you happen to follow what was said there?
Oh, yeah, we know about that. I wasn't there, but we know about what was said, yeah.
Yeah, so this is just part and parcel of a suite of... So I would encourage everyone, because we've got an additional problem. We've got the problem that New Zealand is actually a member of the Trans-Tasman FSANS. So that's the Australian-dominated food standards, Australia, New Zealand. It's really important for us all to make submissions by the deadline, which is the 10th of September. And I see that GeeFree New Zealand has got an excellent submission by with some key points that people may like to make. And I just think that it's extremely unethical. And as I said before, to claim that gene-edited foods are substantially equivalent or the same as ordinary food, all the while having proprietary rights and patents on these new technologies and basically trying to undermine consumer right to know and traceability. When you're proud of a product that you have, you cheerfully and and proactively label. You want to tell people.
You don't hide it away.
Yeah, you don't hide it away. And as the former chair or president of Monsanto said once, which was hilarious, that labeling GE or GM food is the kiss of death. Clearly that hasn't changed. And and there's a lot of things that people can do. But I think many members of the public are, you know, confident because they've been through these processes over the last 15 or 20 years of constructively working with their local councils and getting in place precautionary and in some cases prohibitive provisions, policies and rules and local plans. And I think most New Zealanders like to think that they and their councils actually can make decisions in their own communities, given particular things they value or, let's say, an outstanding landscape. And this current government would very much like to take all of that away. That's why in the Fast Track Proposals Bill, even though they've made a few minor amendments in the face of serious getting slammed by the Auditor General and the Ombudsman and the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment and 27,000 strong submissions, they're still gunning for things like pushing proposals through in local communities, and no individuals or landowners will have any say. It will only be the local councils, and they will, in the case of Buller District Council, where I am right now in the Northern Buller, they'll have 10 working days to respond, which is absolutely ridiculous, of course. It's all designed to disempower.
Well, our time's up for the chat, but surely the elephant in the room here, we've already had an example of this. We've had a genetically modified product launched on the nation. I think it's fair to describe it that way. There was a huge amount of reassurance that it was okay, it would help, would be beneficial, and look what bloody disaster it's been. So how can you trust anything really now?
Are you talking about the rapidly approved, controversial and risky, the Pfizer vaccine, the
yes,
COVID?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know in my book.
Well, I just think the disrespect shown for individuals' rights to choose, and it was very telling that the our police force and defense force personnel who took the government to the high court and won because of significant breaches in the
Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights. And I just think to try to make every New Zealander undertake a surgery or take a particular medication or vaccine.
No, but I'm using that as an example. If you're going to make an argument that the GE is and genetic modification and CRISPR editing and all that is fine, it's great, it's where we need to be. Don't worry. Buffer zones will save us. There's all these things I've heard. You know,
coexistence is totally achievable. Yeah, right.
Yeah, all these things. Yeah, that's what you said last time. Look what happened.
Yeah.
So that's the point I'm making.
The bottom line, GE Free Taitokerau has never opposed the right of individuals in conjunction with discussions with their GP or specialist to take any medication or surgery. That is their personal choice. But our community group, our focus is, it's GE Free Taitokerau in food.
No, I know that. I'm not talking about what happens in doctor's surgeries, you know, with respect. What I'm talking about is if you're expecting us to trust you, they, whoever they are, that this is all safe and there are going to be no consequences and our organics industry won't be threatened, all these things, when you've already done this, and destroyed lives, and it's the genie out of the bottle, then...
Well, it's absolutely not credible. And again, the liability
issue is a key issue.
And if they were actually confident that the risks were very low or the risks were negligible, they wouldn't mind a truly strict liability regime so that the polluter shall pay. So in other words, if someone's taken the time and trouble, a farmer or a forester... to get Forest Stewardship Council, FSC, or PEFC certification for their forestry, and then it's contaminated by a GE tree field trial in the neighboring area, there should be compensation for that. And ryegrass, a gene-edited ryegrass, grasses are one of the most promiscuous plants out of the whole lot. And there is no way that conventional IPM, organic, regenerative farmers and primary producers won't be adversely impacted by this. So we continue to box on and liaise with our local councils and all of our allies. And obviously, just in the case of the Fast Track Proposals Bill, anything that this particular coalition government may do can be reversed. So, right.
Yep. Okay, Zelka Linda Grammer, Chair of GE Free Taitokoro. Thanks for coming on RCR. Zelka, enjoy your tramping.
Oh, I will. I will. It's just gorgeous down here. And spring has come.
Yeah, fantastic.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.